When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Tuesday, December 21st, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, I guess the Dolans can cross something off the list that we had yesterday on our podcast. We had a list of Christmas wishes for those in the Guardians organization, and I think the number one on the list was Paul Dolan finding a minority investor, and all signs after yesterday a report. It was released that said the Dolans have zeroed in on David Blitzer, a hedge fund manager, I guess, not really an accurate description, investment banker, maybe. He's associated with the Blackstone Group in New York, and also has partial ownership in the New Jersey Devils and the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, sports entrepreneur for definitely, Joe. This guy, him and his partner, Josh Harris, like you said, co-owners of the 76ers, the New Jersey Devils, several European soccer teams. He's got the Triple A, the Yankees Triple A team in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre. So, and it sounds like the negotiations are, down the road a little bit, Joe, because Paul Dolan confirmed that the discussions, that he'd had meaningful discussions with Blitzer, and, Paul Dolan usually doesn't say anything unless, something is close at hand here.
Yeah, I guess the negotiations recently were described as around the 10-yard line was where things stood. So we'll keep track of that. What's being rumored and talked about is a little bit more than a 30% stake in the ownership of the Guardians. Reports have it as high as 40% with an eventual path to controlling ownership of the team.
Yeah, and it's just, first of all, I would imagine, if this deal goes through, Blitzer has to buy John Sherman shares of the ball club, which are in escrow. They were placed in escrow when he purchased, when he left the Indians and purchased the Royals in 2019, I think in November of 2019. That was rumored to be anywhere from 25 to 30%. So, we really don't know how much is in escrow. And then it sounds like the Dolan family is willing to sell a little more than perhaps more than that to Blitzer. And like Sherman, he would have a path to majority ownership somewhere down the line. If it's in 5, 6, 7 years, we're not sure about that.
And that's a timetable that Dolan could control if he, or set the parameters of whatever he's comfortable with. Dolan went sort of followed that same path that he did in identifying Sherman when he identified, I guess, Blitzer. He went through a New York-based sort of boutique sports marketing banking company to try and find and identify a candidate for this, this minority stake.
Yeah, that was Allen Company, a boutique banking concern in New York. That's where they found Sherman. And I guess they hooked these guys up together, Blitzer and Dolan. And, Sherman was involved in this too, when in July, when you know, the club announced that they were changing the name to the Guardians, Paul Dolan said, you know, he and Sherman were working together to find an owner to purchase his shares, you know, Sherman's shares of the ball club. And it looks like they've zeroed in on their guy.
Yeah, it just sounds like there was a good relationship established between Dolan and Sherman, and one where, you know, there was a lot of trust there if Dolan was eventually going to hand over the club to Sherman. When things changed in that regard, he Dolan sort of did the right thing and you know, made sure that there's like this sense of stewardship with this team. And I'm wondering if you're getting the feeling that now, yes or no, whether or not that's what Dolan is still looking to do with a guy like Blitzer. Is Blitzer a guy who they're going to make sure, you know, does right by the team, but also does right by the city and does right by, you know, the fans here in Cleveland?
Oh, yeah, I think that's an important part of it, Joe. You know, Dolan and Sherman had a good relationship, you know, and in talking to Paul Dolan, he said he wanted that same kind of relationship with the new minority owner. So I think, you know, that just, you know, that develops over time. You know, I don't know if you just snap your fingers and that happens, but you get a pretty good, I would imagine you get a pretty good vibe, you know, the more you negotiate with the guy, the more you talk about a deal. And, you know, it's interesting, Joe, that this has kind of followed, you know, a sequence of events that, you know, they announced a name change. You know, this was a couple of years ago that they were considering the name change. Then they're going to change the name. Then they do change the name. They secure a lease that will keep the team, you know, in Cleveland for 15 years. You know, there's no debt, future debt as regarding player salaries, you know, at going into 2022, and now they find a minority owner. So it looks like if this is an exit strategy or, you know, a succession strategy, that Paul Dolan is going point by point on this.
Right. Well, it's curious you bring up that, you know, clearing the debt and not having any money on the books beyond that, that 2023 season right now, I guess, is the case with that Jose Ramirez. Well, actually none for next year. Jose Ramirez's option doesn't have to be picked up, I guess. But really, does that play into just the payroll situation right now? The first thing that fans and anybody who sees this is going to jump to is if Blitzer comes on, you know, and signs on the dotted line tomorrow, does this affect the bottom line and the payroll for the Guardians in 2022?
You know, I don't think so, Joe. I don't think it's going to, you know, have a massive impact on it. You know, what you know, you look at is when, you compare apples to apples, you know, when Sherman came on, you know, he bought the team. I think he came on in August of 2016, you know, saw the, you know, really picked a good time to be a minority owner, kind of rode that to the game 7 of the World Series. And then the Indians turned around and, you know, were able to spend $60 million on Edwin Encarnacion over 3 years. So, and that wasn't all Sherman's money. That wasn't just because of Sherman, but it certainly didn't hurt the cause.
Right. And they were able to make moves like, you know, increasing their payroll to get Andrew Miller at the time in 2016 to sort of, you know, go for that World Series. They were in position to strike while it was hot. And, you know, Sherman's presence and Sherman's, the reassurance of his money being there was also a factor there. So what we know about David Blitzer, what we know about his background, he's a Penn, University of Pennsylvania alum. He went to the Wharton School of Management there, very proud alum of that school, and really has been involved with some of his, you know, college classmates in organizing these investment banks like the Blackstone Group. And that's where his wealth comes from. He's reportedly worth a little over $1.3 billion is his net worth. But really, it's this this the beginning of this Harris Blitzer Sports and Entertainment Group that sort of is his next evolution in his progression, I guess. He owns, like we said, stakes in the New Jersey Devils in the NHL, the Philadelphia 76ers in the NBA, several teams in European soccer, and like you said, the minor league team for the New York Yankees, the Scranton Wilkes-Barre team. I would imagine they'd probably have to divest that Scranton Wilkes-Barre, the minor league investment there, if they're going to take out a major league team. I don't know that for sure, but wouldn't that make sense? You can't have another team's minor league franchise under your umbrella.
I'm not sure how that works, because those guys are independent owners. The team doesn't own the Yankees don't own their AAA team. But I don't know. I wouldn't know how that works, Joe. The thing I'm curious about is Josh Harris, mm-hmm. Blitzer's partner involved in this. We haven't. The original story out of Sportico, a business sports publication, only identified Blitzer. So, that'll be interesting. It kind of reminds me of, when the Dolans purchased the Indians, the Cleveland Baseball Club in 1999. The first stories were rumored that, the Dolan family. The whole Dolan family, in New York that owns, mm-hmm. The Knicks, I think, Charles Dolan, I think.
Right.
Yeah. He was supposedly involved in this.
The guy who's really friendly with Charles Oakley, that's the one. Right. The one who's had him kicked out of the arena a couple of times.
Yeah. And, he owns the Rangers. I think he owns, the Empire State Building and he owns, owns the Knicks and, a bunch of stuff in New York, but that wasn't the case. It was just Larry and Paul Dolan that were purchasing, the Indians. Back then they were named the Indians, obviously. And so I wonder, if this is just a, kind of a solo enterprise by Blitzer or if Harris is involved in this.
Yeah, that's James L. Dolan, who's the owner of the Knicks, and one of the most hated owners in the NBA right now. But yeah, interesting to draw that comparison, that parallel. I don't know how it's going to break down who owns what or who would be the sole majority owner there. But Josh Harris's involvement will be certainly scrutinized as we get closer. This is a group that wanted to buy the Mets before Steve Cohen stepped in with his, deep pockets, and Major League Baseball approved Steve Cohen buying control of the Mets. These guys were sort of in talks and hoping to be able to secure the Mets. I think, this might be, is this their runner up prize? They can't buy the Mets, so you're going to buy the Guardians. I don't know. It seems to me that their dollars could probably stretch a little further here in Cleveland.
Oh yeah, definitely, Joe. And this is you're not in the AL East. The NL East. I think you're in a division that's probably easier to win. So I think this would you've got a chance to be competitive right away. You've got a great manager. You have a farm system that keeps producing, Cy Young quality pitchers. Offensively, it's a little different story, but, I think you can see the room for growth here if you're a new owner, coming into this situation.
If you're talking about the changeover here in the next 5 years, maybe potentially, a path to a new ownership in 5 years. What does that mean for guys like Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff, who have repeatedly turned down offers to go elsewhere because they like the setup and they like the feeling and the organization and everything that they have here, basically the stability? Are we looking at, eventually Terry Francona is going to move on. Eventually you're going to lose Antonetti and Chernoff. Is that something that'll happen in the next 5 years?
I think they've got to probably, that organization has really a good, they have a great deal of trust in Dolan. They, I think if Dolan gives his sign of approval to this, if this deal goes through, I think Dolan, you know, they'll have confidence that he's bringing in a guy that, you know, in 5 years or 6 years or whenever this path of, you know, majority ownership comes, becomes a little clearer. I don't think he wouldn't bring this guy in if he was going to clean house. Okay. But, you know, I think they have trust in Dolan's decision. But that being said, Joe, yeah, 5 years, you know, 2 years is a lifetime in baseball, you know, so anything can happen. And I would think, you know, depending on the success of the club one way or the other, I mean, I would think Chernoff and Antonetti, you know, they would like to see this thing come to fruition, by fruition to win a World Series, by taking it all the, you know, by they've invested a lot of what, blood, sweat, and tears in this thing, Antonetti has over 20 years involved in this, and Chernoff is close to that. But if they reach the ultimate goal, I think maybe that would make it easier to say, okay, adios in 5 or 6 years, you know?
Right. Well, and, you know, as we're looking at it, fans have been sort of calling for this for years. They've been calling for Dolan's head for years. So, you know, this is, they now have a clear path in terms of maybe in the next 5 years, they can move on from that and have a new owner in place. And you never know if the new guy is going to be better or worse than the old guy. But as far as the reaction from the fans, we did see on subtext a couple of responses to the initial reports here yesterday. Let's just read through a few of them. Carl in Orlando said, "That would be magnificent. It's a Merry Christmas." We have another guy here who says, Bill in Franklin, Tennessee said, "I like the 35% investment, but not the path to ownership." So, you know, sort of tempering his expectations there. Looking at it, would be great to see the deal go through if it includes a significant cash injection as part of the terms. So I think that's what some of these fans are responding to us on Guardian subtext. They're hoping that this, you know, all these rumors and all this talk results in, you know, money that we're going to see on the field. And we just might not see that, like you said, early on in the first year.
Yeah. I think obviously the payroll is going to go up. You know, it can't, you know, you were at 50 million on opening day last year. I think I would imagine it goes up, you know, to probably pushing 70, 80 million, Joe, but I can't see it going. It's not like all of a sudden you're going to have a $200 million payroll just because you have a minority owner. I mean, I don't think it works that way. Now gradually over, you know, the next few years, perhaps, you know, we've seen the payroll go down since 2017, you know, from what 137 million to 50 million. Maybe it'll work its way up where at least you're close to the MLB average, which is what, about 110, 120 million,
something like that. Year. Yeah. Getting it up around 100, 110 million might, yeah. And who knows with the CBA, we don't know if there's going to be anything like a salary floor or anything like that negotiated in. It's not likely that that's going to happen, but it's a possibility. And, you know, they would have to spend more if that was the case. And that could be good news for re-signing guys like, or extending guys like Shane Bieber and Jose Ramirez at the time. All right. So right now, just overall, your general feeling when you saw the reports about Blitzer and the potential to eventually move on from the Dolan ownership. This is an ownership that's, you know, lasted, it's the longest in franchise history. And more than 20 years, like you said, 1999, they took over. What's your reaction to just the news that, you know, the Dolan tenure could be coming to an end?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm just glad that, you know, if this deal goes through, you know, the club is on a better financial basis. You know, you know, you're going to be, you know, whole financially. You know, I think you know, the Dolans have taken a lot of criticism, but I don't think they're out of this picture totally yet. Like I think the Dolan family still wants to hold majority ownership for a while, maybe 5-6 years, and they'll go from there. Maybe they want to see if their kids are interested, you know, if any of Paul's kids or any of their relatives are interested in running a ball club or, you know, staying in involved in it. And, you know, they'll go from there. But I think this is a good sign. You know, we've heard these rumblings since John Sherman, you know, sold his shares or put his shares in escrow. You know, now that, you know, the Dolans, you know, seem to be on the verge of a deal with a minority partner, you know, I think this is a good sign for the ball club, most of all. You know, like you said, Joe, you can improve the product on the field now. You know, it's not, you know, it just seemed like every, you know, the pandemic and everything else really put the Indians, the Guardians behind the eight ball. This will get them out in front of that. And eventually we'll get to see, you know, what kind of, you know, owner Blitzer is. Maybe he'll show his hand, you know, by if this deal goes through, and in the next, you know, coming years, we'll get a feel for which direction this guy is going to go.
Yeah, it's funny. We've always heard, and the Dolans have always described owning and running the club as, you know, the family business. This is where their money is, and this is what their time and their investment is. You know, other ownership groups or other owners in the league, you know, they have their businesses that made them their millions, and this is, and you know, the team is sort of their side project. For the Dolans, this has been their family business for the last 20 years. This is what they've done. So you know, even just to see them considering moving away from it now, even if they stay somehow involved in some capacity or another, just should be interesting to see the transition. And like you said, see what Blitzer will do, if he'll tip his hand, if he becomes the owner eventually here in the next 5 years. All right, let's very briefly, since we don't have a lot of time left here, we want to mention Carlos Vargas, the next guy on our list of 40-man roster prospects. Vargas was already on the 40-man roster throughout this past season. It was one that was lost to injury for the entire year. So he spent the majority of, I believe it was elbow reconstruction for Vargas, who was a right-handed pitching prospect, hard thrower, a guy who was protected from the Rule 5 draft a couple of years ago. What can we expect, or should we expect anything out of Carlos Vargas here in the 2022 season?
Yeah, probably, you know, if it takes a year, he had the Tommy John surgery, Joe, in April. So, you know, you've got to, you know, it takes at least a year, you know, so I would think probably by the All-Star break next season, this coming season, we should get a better read on Vargas. But, you know, this kid, you know, 22 years old. When he was 18, he hit 100 miles an hour. You know, he hasn't really pitched since 2019 when he was at Mahoning Valley, and he struck out 71 and 77 and 2/3 innings. Signed as an international free agent in 2016 for $275,000. But, you know, kind of a three-quarter delivery guy. You know, really great arm speed, 94 to 97 miles an hour with his fastball. Slider is his out pitch. You know, kind of an exciting prospect. And he must be, if they kept him on the 40 man, you know, when, even though he was injured.
Is he a candidate for, you know, maybe being taken off the 40 man in order to make room for any additions or trades that might happen? And then, you know, because he's been rehabbing with the club and has that familiarity, if they do cut him loose, they would have a real good chance of re-signing him to maybe a minors deal.
You know, I don't know. I would think maybe you know, he's one of those guys. Could you put him on the 60-day DL? You know, I don't know if you.
Well, you're going to have him on the
on the
40-man at some point in order to do that.
I would think, you know, if they've kept him this long, Joe, I would think, you know, they'd keep him on the 40-man right now because, you know, I know they like his arm, obviously. You know, they think, you know, some scouting reports say he could stay in the rotation. Others say he's more suited for the bullpen. But just an interesting guy, just a guy I think, you know, that they have a good track record of, you know, rehabbing guys coming off Tommy John. And I think they want to see this guy just exactly what he can do. Still young. He's 6'3", 180 pounds, you know, so right-hander. So he, you know, he's going to get probably bigger and, you know, he's already got the velo. So,
right. Yeah. I don't think 6'3" and throws 100 miles an hour. It sounds like, you know, a bunch of the guys that they've been stockpiling for that bullpen. And, you know, if he works out there, that's great. If he can return to being a starter, but again, you're talking, in the minors for the last couple of, for at least the last two seasons, or last season, they kept everybody, you know, short. Innings were hard to come by and they didn't, you know, let guys go deep into games. So, you know, maybe it works out for him that he gets his, you know, four innings a start or whatever the formula is for these guys.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and obviously he didn't pitch, you know, 2020. Mm-hmm. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't healthy. I don't think he pitched in the alternate site either. So, you know, so he got hurt last spring and, you know, we'll see what, I mean, he's just, you know, he's just right now, he's kind of an if come, you know, just
right.
a lottery ticket.
And he's probably the most or the least known. We have the least amount of, you know, data and innings and anything on him. Just because of the injury and because of the pandemic season. So we'll wait and see on Carlos Vargas, another guy on the 40-man roster. Hoynsie, we'll check in again tomorrow, see if there are any further developments in this Blitzer situation to see if the Guardians can move any closer to identifying and declaring a minority investor. This is great. We didn't even talk about the lockout once. There's.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think they'd wait until the lockout ends to announce this? Cause I heard it wasn't going to happen. Like, you know, in tomorrow it's not imminent.
Look, as long as it doesn't happen in the next, you know, week and a half, I'm totally fine with, you know, whenever they want to announce it, but you would think that they would want to get things rolling as fast as possible and get their ownership group and everything all lined up before they start making decisions based on that CBA, I guess is what.
Maybe they've got to wait until, you know, who knows, maybe they've got to wait until the terms come out of the CBA if that affects ownership.
Right. And certainly any change or anything like that would have to be approved by baseball. If you know, the owners would have to get together and approve Blitzer as a minority owner, I'm sure. So
two-thirds majority, I think it is,
right,
among the owners.
All right, Hoynsie, we'll be back with you again tomorrow on another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll talk to you then.
All right, Joe.